Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. In this video, we'll talk about unobtrusive JavaScript, which is really just a set of principles that experienced JavaScript developers have been teaching and preaching and promoting for quite a few years now. These are considered the best practices for aspiring JavaScript developers, and I want to make sure that you're at least aware of these things, and at a minimum that we're following these sorts of things moving forward. So there's a group called the Web Standards Project, and they describe four benefits of writing unobtrusive JavaScript. The benefits are usability, graceful degradation, accessibility, and separation. Usability is in regards to the fact that the script shouldn't call attention to itself. It should just work. Users should be using it without even thinking about it. Graceful degradation is kind of the other side of the coin, that if it doesn't work, then it should just fail silently and go away and disappear and never call attention to itself. Accessibility has to do with whether it works across all devices for all people. If the script fails, the page will still deliver its core content via markup style sheets or server-side scripting, so the JavaScript is not required in order to consume the content. And then finally, the separation of concerns, like we talked about previously, for the benefit of other and future web developers, all JavaScript code should be maintained separately without impacting other files of script, markup, or code. So there are some basic techniques that have been developed through the years to achieve these principles, and we're just going to look at three of them. There might be a few more, but these are the easiest ones we can kind of apply at this point in our knowledge of JavaScript. There is separation of behavior from markup. There's namespaces, also known as global abatement, and then degrading gracefully, which we'll look at the very end. So the separation of behavior from markup, we've already kind of talked about this, how we should keep our JavaScript and our HTML in separate files, in separate places. Otherwise, the HTML and the JavaScript, they all get tangled together. And I've used this term, separation of concerns, before. It's a programming term. It's the first step towards writing an obtrusive JavaScript by keeping the behavior in its own files and the content or the markup in its own files and so on. So we're not going to go into that in any more depth. We're already kind of doing that whenever we use the SRC, the source equals JavaScript 18.js, for example. We're keeping that JavaScript in its own file. All right, the second one requires a little bit more explanation, the concept of namespaces or global abatement. By default, whenever you're writing JavaScript functions and declaring variables, you're doing so in the global namespace or at a global level, or we called it the global scope before. So as a result, it's entirely possible that the names that you choose for your variables and for your functions are potentially going to collide with other code that was written at the global level as well, that you may have imported into the page or that coworkers were working on. This is especially dangerous when you're writing library code that's intended for use in multiple projects, or importing libraries that are created by other developers who are not so thoughtful as you need to be. So when you create variables and functions at the global level, it's often referred to as polluting the global namespace. That word namespace refers to the domain or the scope. So you're potentially polluting or sticking your stuff in the global scope by adding your names for variables and functions in there. And the solution to this is easy. You create an object that contains all of your code. This object sits at the global level, the global scope, but it's the only thing that you as a developer add to the global scope. Everything else becomes a property of that global object that you create. So basically, you're just reducing your footprint in the global namespace by sticking everything in an object specific to your module, your code, your plugin, whatever the case might be. Okay? So let me show you kind of what was popular a few years ago and why it's bad. And that is, we kind of called old school. It clutters up the namespace. So let's go to our script 18.js file that I've already got set up here. First of all, let's just make sure that this even runs at this point. All right, so we've got that part working. Great. So in the past, you may have done something like this and not even really thought a whole lot about it. What you're really doing, even though you're using the var keyword, it's still var to the global because we haven't put it inside of a function. So, for example, if we change this alert and we know that window is the global object, If we go window.version, we should see 1.2 pop up. And that's a bad thing, because what we've done is polluted our global namespace with the word version. Now, anybody else who tries to use the word version, either it's going to overwrite what we've done or we're going to overwrite what they've done. So that's bad news, especially as you begin to add a dozen, two dozen, hundreds of variables at this level. Instead, what you should be doing is this. You should first of all declare a global object. We're going to call it Atrus, and then you start attaching things to it. Atrus is just maybe a project name that I'm working on. Notice that it's in all caps. That should be a clue when I'm looking at the code or somebody else that this is a global object. All right. And so I'll do this instead. Now, if we were to run our code, this alert window.version, see what happens. You'll notice that the variable is undefined because it's not found in the global namespace. That's awesome. However, if we were to do this, it gives us the value again. Great. So what this is called is a singleton pattern. We've created a single object at the global level, and then everything we do from this point on will be attached to that global object. So for example, suppose we take an example from something we've worked on in the past with this like planet object that we created. We have an object planet, and we want to use it throughout our application. And I could go in and create all of its methods and properties. I'll just keep it simple for now. The problem with this is that it's polluting the global namespace. What I should be doing instead is that. So I can do atrus.planet.name. In order to access that property. Okay? Simple concept. It's just being aware of what the issue is and how do we avoid cluttering up or polluting the global namespace. Yes, we do have a foothold in the global namespace, but it's our only foothold. It's the only thing that we do to clutter it all up. So there's also another way to accomplish this. We call this a singleton pattern, where we create a global object and then attach everything to that global object. There's another pattern called the module pattern, very popular in JavaScript, a little bit of an advanced concept, but it allows you to define private and public members. We're not going to talk about that now, but I would encourage you, if you have any interest in moving forward in your career, you start looking at JavaScript patterns, things that are used often in JavaScript, and the module pattern is one of the most popular. So one final caveat here before we move on. For simple jQuery-based applications like we've been working on, I'm going to keep all of my work inside of the ready method right in here, right where we have the alert. So for example, if I were to want to create this, let me comment everything else out, and go ahead and just put that up here ahead of it. Using this window again will ensure that we're not attaching this version variable to the global. We're attaching it to jQuery instead. So if I did this right, let's see. So the good news here is that I have avoided the global namespace by keeping everything just inside of my jQuery ready function instead. All right. Now, if I need a function to be called outside of the scope of this document.ready, then I have no choice but to do as I demonstrated here, and that is to create my own namespace and then attach my functions and objects and variables to that namespace. But for most of my simple examples, I won't be creating my own namespace. I'm just going to be putting my code inside of jQuery's ready method. If I'm working on a larger application that involves more complexity and more developers, then I'm going to be thinking more seriously about having a strategy involving one or more namespaces. Now, ideally, just one namespace. Any more namespaces than that, I'm going to potentially be colliding with other libraries or libraries or code that my team members have created. So now we're moving into advanced territory here again, and the answers to questions when it comes to larger applications and how do you structure code and how do you utilize design patterns is often, it really depends on the situation. So I would encourage you to grow towards learning more about JavaScript and JavaScript patterns, especially for larger applications when you have the need to do that. But let's move on for now. Finally, we want to talk about degrading gracefully, and let me get started here by just getting rid of everything up to this point. Okay, we'll just do our work inside of there and kind of ignore everything else. Okay. And degrading gracefully has to do with thinking about your use of JavaScript and how it impacts the web page should somebody turn the JavaScript off in their web browser. So when manipulating the document object model, you should be careful to not require the JavaScript to run in order for the user to use the web page. So you as the developer need to ensure that added behavior degrades gracefully on those browsers with unexpected configurations and on those on which the user may have disabled JavaScript altogether. So making your application accessible for people of all abilities and disabilities is both a good idea for business, and in some countries it's even the law, like in the UK. It requires that you think about the ramifications of using a really slick user interface and how it would behave if you were to have no JavaScript available whatsoever. The JavaScript should be additive. It should be a bonus for those with a computing platform to utilize it, but not a requirement. And so there's a simple way to demonstrate this, and that is through the use of the document.write, which we've used quite a few times here in our applications. If you're going to do all of your work in document.write, and I've seen applications that have overutilized document.write to spit out content to the web page dynamically, the problem with this is that if the user turns off the JavaScript, there won't be anything spit out to the web page. So that is a very simplified example. Now, we were using that because we were just wanting to learn JavaScript, and it was an easy way to just send some output. But hopefully, you don't get in the habit of using that. Instead, you get in the habit of thinking of the ramifications of your JavaScript should somebody had turned it off in their browser. All right, so let me show you another example, maybe a little more real-life example, of a simple show-hide scenario. There are a lot of web pages that will show and hide information based on whether you've clicked a little plus symbol to open it and then a little minus symbol to close it back. It's a slick little thing you can add to a web page, but it should under no circumstances be relied on for the main presentation of your content. And to kind of demonstrate this, you can see that I've set this up by creating a paragraph with the ID of main, and it has an image, a plus image inside of it. You may have already seen it as we've opened up this web page. And the idea here, we'll get rid of that in a second. The idea here is that you would click on the plus symbol to show a message and then hide it using the minus symbol. And there's a right way and a wrong way to implement this. Let me show you the wrong way to do this first. Make sure we save this. And inside of here, let me reference the click me element. And when you click it, and so we'll want to append . All right, so let's see how this works. Okay, so you should only see this if you click the plus. Now what happens if we were to go to Internet Options, Advanced, and let's go ahead and turn off JavaScript. Click Apply and OK. Refresh the page. Now, well, let's go ahead and shut down the browser and start over again. That's probably what we need to do. All right, notice that we get that allow block content. No, we're not going to allow it. And now the content never will make it to screen because we have JavaScript turned off. That's the wrong way to handle this situation. So ideally what we're going to do instead is to kind of take the opposite approach. Instead of displaying the plus in the page, let's rip that out of the page and then we're going to create the message. You should see this whether JavaScript is on or off. Let's save that. Let's go back to our script and let's just let's comment this out. First things first, what I want to do is if somebody in fact does have JavaScript turned on, then I will show the image. Let's go ahead and use double quotes around this. Then if somebody clicks on that image, we'll call it the toggle method. And the great thing about the toggle is that it will just switch between two states. So we need to give it two anonymous functions here. All right, and in the on state, we're going to show the message. Whoops, I need to do that. And as an added bonus, I'm even going to change from the plus image to the minus image. And these images should be available in the folder where you've downloaded this code. Okay, if I haven't already said that, I apologize. All right, and then on the opposite state, what we'll do is we're gonna hide slow. I forgot that. And we'll change it back to a plus then. Then, as we start up, we want to hide the message. And what this does for us, it'll only hide the message if JavaScript is turned on. It will only display the image if JavaScript is turned on. It will only toggle if JavaScript is turned on. Otherwise, it'll just the message will show up and display regardless. And that's what we want. Okay, so let's test it in this case first, and then we'll come back and fix anything that I may have done wrong here. So let's start over. All right, so as you can see, you should see this whether JavaScript is on or off. Great. Now if we were to allow block content, you should see this whether JavaScript is on or off. Okay, and I'm missing my minus dash 8png. Let me see if I called it something wrong. Minus, whoops, dash 8png. Save that, start that over. So now this will work in either scenario. Pretty cool. Pretty happy about that. Okay, so there's more to writing unobtrusive JavaScript, but hopefully you can see how these three techniques will help you achieve the desired results, namely usability, graceful degradation, accessibility, and separation of concerns. All right, so we're doing great. You're learning a ton about JavaScript. Hopefully it's starting to all click for you. We're going to continue pushing forward in the next lesson. See you there. Thank you. Thank you.